Welcome back to Studio A on Interlochen Public Radio. I'm Isabel Lee, and for week four of this 99th season of Interlochen Arts Camp, the World Youth Symphony Orchestra will be playing four brilliant pieces by composers spanning centuries. Utage by Natsumi Yamamoto, The Sorcerer's Apprentice by Paul Dukas, The Montgomery Variations by Margaret Bonds, and The Palafsian Dances by Alexander Borodin. Joining me in Studio A today is the conductor of this weekend's concerts, Keitaro Harada. Keitaro, welcome to Classical IPR.
Thank you so much for having me.
I want to start by mentioning that you are an Interlochen alum yourself. How does it feel to be back here?
It's really nostalgic. I came on campus yesterday, really late, so it was really dark. I couldn't see much. But this morning, you know, seeing the campus in bright daylight, you know, I haven't been back here since 2004, so
wow.
It's 22 years ago. There are things that look exactly the same. There are things that look completely foreign to me, and I'm just so happy to be here. It's really a blessing to be back on campus.
What's your favorite part of campus, just out of curiosity?
You know, the security, it's interesting because that high security never existed when I was around. It was just, you could always just walk into campus to go to the Melody Freeze. The stone food tastes exactly the same from 22 years ago, so that hasn't developed. but it was just nice to see everything that has all the new stuff, like the Dallas Suites, the dance building, the film, you know, it's new to me. I haven't walked through the main part of the campus yet, but everything, everywhere I look, I'm like, ooh, I did that there. I did this here. You know, this morning I just rehearsed the YSO at Kresge, and Kresge looks exactly the same to me. I don't think anything has changed for the last many, many years. So it's good to be back.
Well, we're so excited to have you back this week conducting the program. For the past few weeks, there were only about 2 to 3 pieces for each program for the World Youth Symphony Orchestra, but you're conducting 4 different pieces
them.
Mm-hmm. With so much music on the program, how do you make sure that each piece is well rehearsed, especially with a youth orchestra?
So we started this morning. This was our first rehearsal, and then we just went through all of the music just to see where we're at. And everyone was kind of shocked because some of, you know, the tempos they thought was much slower, but I took it at wicked speed, and I said, you know, we got to keep it moving. It's the theme of the program is based around dance, so there's a lot of dance, active dance pieces, but there's enough rehearsal throughout the week. I have 2 rehearsals every day with the full orchestra. I have sectionals. I have all of these wonderful faculty members working individually with the musicians. And I could tell that the students they feel the challenge, but they also feel like that the music is absolutely gorgeous to play and fun to work on. There's music that are familiar to them, like they've heard it before. Maybe they haven't played it. And then there's music that is completely new because we're doing a U.S. premiere of one of the pieces. So I'm excited. I think we have just the right amount of time to make it into a wonderful program to present.
Well, you read my mind here because many of us know the melodies from The Sorcerer's Apprentice and the Palavecian Dances, orchestral classics. Were there any special moments in rehearsal when you were leading the high school musicians in these very recognizable works?
So we started the rehearsal today with the Borodin, the Palavecian Dances, and we read through it, and then when we came back to it, we talked about the colors of the music, the melody. What color does it feel like? What are the moods? It starts with a beautiful opening melody that is very sentimental. And, you know, I asked them for just adjectives. And we went with different kinds of adjectives that are opposites. So they played like this very opening melody, we played it happy, we played it sad, we played it somber, we played it like depressing. And I asked not just the melody but the accompaniment to also be characteristic. So it's not just an accompaniment, but the accompaniment is also putting colors and elements to the melody. And then we also sang a lot in rehearsal. I wanted them to sing it with a happy voice. I wanted them to sing with a sad voice. So we, you know, there was a lot of laughter because the bassist couldn't sing at all. But you know, through the laughter, they understood how I see music, and then what's important to me with the process of making music. So I think right from the get-go, they understood what kind of character I am and then how I want this week to be. And we had a good time.
You know, The Sorcerer's Apprentice by Dukas is, mm-hmm. of course, known for its inclusion in Disney's Fantasia. Mm-hmm. I'm curious for you, when you're conducting this piece, do the images of the film inform how you conduct the piece at all?
You know, it's funny that you say that. When my first time experiencing the music is through the 1950s Fantasia, with Stokowski conducting with Mickey Mouse as the magician. And that imagery is so stuck in my head that every moment of the music, I could really picture that moment. I saw that movie countless times growing up. So it's hard to avoid that. And then I have also, throughout my career, conducted concerts where they show the Fantasia, the movie, and with the live orchestra performing. And I've done that multiple times. So it's stuck in my DNA. I think it's a good imagery to have because it's very picturesque. I think Walt Disney did a fantastic job putting the music of Dukas into the storyline of Mickey Mouse, you know, fighting, being the Sorcerer's Apprentice, and the broom, you know, that keeps multiplying like crazy.
I want to get to the two lesser-known pieces, mm-hmm. on the program, Utage by Natsumi Yamamoto, mm-hmm. and the Montgomery Variations, mm-hmm. by Margaret Bonds. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us about Natsumi Yamamoto and her music? She's the only living composer on this program.
Correct. So Natsumi is a composer that I am a mentor of. So I'm one of the orchestras that I am the conductor is the Tokyo Symphony Orchestra. Mm-hmm. And at Tokyo Symphony, I created a program to have it's a program for young composers. So a lot of young composers after college, they don't really have a way to make their career. So what I've developed is that every year I select one composer, and then the way I select a composer is that I have little children under the age of like middle school write melodies, and I select about 6 melodies and post it online. Young composers post-college before the age of 30, they take these melodies and create like a 5-minute orchestral piece. The selected piece gets performed at Suntory Hall with Tokyo Symphony. It gets recorded visually, audio recording, and it gets published out into the universe. But that selected composer then gets to spend 12 months with me, with my mentorship, to be introduced to different orchestra, develop their website, their social media presence, and have opportunities to compose original works and arrangements. Natsumi is the third composer in my project, and so she has written a lot of commissions for different orchestras. Utage is a commission that was commissioned by the Gunma Symphony Orchestra, Orchestra South of Tokyo, and it was written for me. It features multiple dances, traditional Japanese dances, that often gets danced in the summertime. And so there are several melodies that are just really very close to my heart, and then melodies that I grew up with. And we premiered this work in 2024, I think. But because I was coming here to work with Waiso, I asked her to make a little bit of adjustments to sort of upgrade the experience for the musicians playing it. So Waiso is performing the new version of Utage. It's very catchy. It's got a very catchy bass line that I made everyone sing today. So I told everyone that they have to be scatting this rhythm every time I see them on campus. and then just melody that are completely foreign to them if they're not Japanese, and the majority of the musicians aren't. So it's melody that is new to them, but I'm gonna sing for them what the melody means. There's a little bit of choreography that I'm thinking of, where they're going to choreograph on stage, like physical choreography, in addition to the, playing. So I'm thinking of what to do about that. But I just need to see their energy level and then what they're capable of. But I think they like the music. I like the music personally. I think it's really, really fun. And I hope they're enjoying the process of learning this new piece.
And this is the U.S. premiere of
Yuzage. Yes, it is a U.S. premiere.
That is so exciting. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, the Montgomery Variations by Margaret Alison Bonds. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a bit about this work? She's a 20th century African-American composer.
One of the highly celebrated composers, black composers in the day. However, she really, it was a very difficult time in the U.S., so her music didn't get as widespread. And this particular piece was introduced to me via Christian Macellaro, the YSO music director. He and I are roommates at Tanglewood. We were living together for an entire summer, really good friends. And then we are also now in Ohio together because I'm the conductor for Dayton Philharmonic. He's the conductor for Cincinnati Symphony. We're an hour away from each other. And when we were developing this program for this summer for my guest conducting, he suggested the Montgomery Variations. And I thought, oh, that is perfect because it is music that is really dear to America. America celebrating its 250th anniversary. I really wanted to make sure there was some kind of American music in the programming. And this music is very approachable. The story of the Montgomery Variation is a very sad story. The history behind it is not the greatest history for the African American history, but what Bonds does is it takes the journey of this tragedy that happened in Montgomery, Alabama, and puts it into music to tell a storyline. So it starts from there's seven variations in the music, and then each variation is specific to a specific moment in the telling of the history. Her music is extremely approachable. I think she has the most beautiful orchestration colors, and it takes just sort of like going to church. It takes one melody, and then it has a lot of different simple variations that really develops throughout each movement, and it's so gorgeous. I think we played it for the first time this morning at rehearsal, and the very last movement, so gorgeous. And I asked the orchestra to stand as if they're at church, and then play this melody. And so we played the last 10 minutes just standing and just enjoy the harmony that surrounds them. And I think they're understanding this is American music. This is music written in this country for telling the story of America. So I'm excited that they're able to perform this piece.
We're also very excited to hear it in concert this Sunday. Last question. Yes. Now that you're working with young musicians here at Interlaken, these are really two questions. How did Interlaken shape your journey as a musician and conductor? And how do you hope to impact the students you're working with this week?
Interlaken for me was everything that I am today. I came from Tokyo, Japan to come to the academy my junior year and senior year. I came to the camp 2 years. And here is where I learned about the beauty of making music, the art of really focusing on honing your craft. You're surrounded by the best of the best of your age group. And they inspire you. They make you work harder. A lot of people who come to Interlaken, and they're usually the best musician or best artist or best writer or best whatever they are at their hometown. And they come here and they're like, oh my gosh, everyone's so much better than me. And it's great to be not the top. It's great to be inspired by everyone and they challenge you. That's how I felt here. The friends that I made here when I was a young student, they're everywhere. They're colleagues of mine around the world. And it's the memories that I made here that really shaped who I am as a musician, as a conductor. I started conducting when I was in at camp. I took the conducting lesson. My conducting teacher from that lesson still teaches at Interlaken. I haven't seen him yet, Mr. Kaufman. But he, here is where I really was held the baton, made music in front of a large ensemble, and then I thought, okay, this is what I was born to do. This is what I need to be doing. It really shaped everything about my life and what I do today. So I want to be able to share my journey as a musician to the young artists that are here this summer. I want them to know that it's not all just very easy, you know, to have a career in music. Not everyone needs to have a career in music, but I want them to be able to understand that they are so fortunate to have the language of music that they are able to do. It's magical language to be able to communicate with all kinds of people, colleagues that are musicians, and also the audience that are hearing their music. It's such a wonderful power that they have, and I want them to be able to exercise all of the magic that they have and enjoy making music together.
Keitaro Harada will be conducting the World Youth Symphony Orchestra this Sunday, July 26th at Kresge Auditorium for a program of orchestral fireworks. Tune in on Classical IPR for a live broadcast starting at 7 p.m. this Sunday with commentary by me and Amanda Sewell. Keitaro, thanks for coming by Studio A today and enjoy your time on campus.
Thank you so much.
I'm Isabel Lee, and this has been Studio A on Interlaken Public Radio.